Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not-so-smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to you. It's Monday after Selection Sunday, which means you've got brackets waiting for you to fill out. How many do you do? How many brackets do you fill out as you are participating in the After Hours Bracket Challenge, maybe a family bracket challenge, maybe bragging rights with your friends? I know my family and I, we have a bracket challenge. My mom's husband has already set it up, and it's live waiting for us to fill out our brackets yet again. The last two champions, Baylor and Kansas, both out of the Big 12. Now, this despite the vaunted Big 10, once again getting eight teams into the field of 68. The SEC also has eight teams, including the number one overall seed for the first time in school history, Alabama, surviving everything that happened with Darius Miles being charged with capital murder, of course, Brandon Miller and the criticism that ensued because the freshman is the one who drove the car that had the gun in the back seat. After all of that, the PR nightmare that was Nate Oates with his comments regarding Brandon Miller, the way the school mishandled that situation, and then keeping their players away from the media for a couple of weeks, they end up winning the SEC, going away with 29 wins and that stamp in the tournament. The first time number one overall seed is the Crimson Tide. In the South region, get to play in Birmingham. So could we see a changing of the guard, if you will, or will it be a three-peat for the Big 12? Houston ends up with the number two overall seed out of the American Conference. They were the top team in the land for most of the season. 31 wins, end up edging Kansas for the number two overall seed, which means Kansas ends up in the West region as the number three overall will play in Des Moines against Howard. Now, Kansas, number one strength of schedule in the NFL. Oh my gosh. My brain being split in half because we're also getting into legal tampering Monday and Tuesday. Sorry about that. The number one strength of schedule.
You know, the NFL's crazy.
In the NFL, that would be quite a feat for Kansas if they had the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL as well. Number three overall seed will take on Howard, first time in the tournament since 1992. And then Purdue, the top seed in the East, won both the Big Ten regular season and tournament. But man, what a region for Purdue and really for all the top seeds in the East. So a taste of March Madness with the selection show. Certainly some of the highlights that you hear there with Jim Nantz and Kevin Kugler and three greatest weeks on the sports calendar, potentially. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I couldn't help but think about Sunday, in addition to it being Selection Sunday for March Madness, the three-year anniversary of the day March Madness was completely shuttered. Completely shut down. I can still remember exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing when the notification popped up on my phone that March Madness was being called off in the face of a pandemic. And I remember over the next couple of days, many other sports followed suit, many other events followed suit. But to me, it was most painful for the coaches, for the students specifically, for the schools who had captured lightning in a bottle. Dayton, maybe their best team in school history, but the Flyers would not have the chance to pursue that dream, to follow that all the way through the month of March and into April and claim a national title. You had students who were seniors. Couldn't delay graduation. In fact, didn't even really end up getting a graduation, but would never be able to experience not just conference tournaments, because many of them were stopped or postponed or flat out canceled without a finish, without a conclusion, without a championship, but then March Madness. Remember speaking to the Liberty men's basketball coach. They had an incredible team that year and had to wait another full season before they got a crack at it. Those stories are everywhere in college sports. It wasn't just basketball. It was every other spring sport that got called off. It was painful. Changed my perspective. I know that it changed your perspective in many ways as well. For 3.5 months, no sports. Well, UFC came back. Golf returned in a manner of speaking. NASCAR eventually was back on the track with all types of safety stipulations. Team sports didn't return until late July. Baseball, then basketball and hockey in a bubble. We waited, we waited, we count the days. We continue to do our radio show. We found reasons for hope. We found reasons for joy. We found good news. Ultimately, though, when sports resumed, it gave us a jolt of energy, something to look forward to. I know I'll never take them for granted again, and it was over the course of those 3.5 months without sports, hosting my radio show, where my perspective changed. Yes, a greater appreciation for the fact that sports never stop, except in 2020, but also a recognition that sports are a microcosm of society and what we went through as a society in early 2020. Our nation will never be the same. We lost so many people. We lost so much time. But maybe we don't take families for granted as much. Maybe we don't take our jobs, our coworkers for granted, our friendships for granted, travel. Yes, sports, but not just that. Joy, hope. We had to dig deep to find them in some parts of 2020. And yet there are silver linings to every cloud, even the darkest, most threatening storm clouds. My brother, for instance, I share this a lot because it speaks to perspective and it speaks to priorities. But I know his reason for appreciating those months in 2020. Not isolated. There are other people who feel the same. His two girls, my nieces, home for 4+ months. They were already, well, my younger was in college. The older already out of college. Likely never would have been under the same roof again. But they were. And it was special for my brother to have that time with his girls. Lots of families being forced to get up close and personal, more so than they might have wished. But then there were also separations. The elderly, nursing homes, assisted living, isolated, were unable to visit. For that reason, the tears, the relief, the joy, when I finally got to hug my grandmother after over a year of being unable to get to her. Literally not able to get to her. To spend those first few days with her in 21 after the separation, I'll never forget it. How grateful I was that I still had her. And yet how much closer we became over the course of 2020 because I called her every couple days, as opposed to every couple weeks or once a week, every couple days, just to make sure she was okay, just to hear her voice. My story is not unique. Many of us were in that same situation. I went 3 months without a hug. Longest I've ever gone in my entire freaking life without a hug. That first hug with a friend of mine in, I guess it would have been June. I think it lasted 3 minutes. We both cried. We'll never again take hugs for granted. Conversations in person. Not over Zoom. Oh my goodness. The number of video calling mechanisms and websites that I used over that time, I think I lost count. But I remember double digits. The number of different ways that I did video calls in 2020. March Madness was canceled. It was stunning. It was shocking. It was the start of a stark period. And yet, as much as we lost, we survived. We're resilient. And I know I've heard from many of you that the radio show kept you company, which is a great compliment to me, to the guys that I was working with at the time, Chris and Isaac. Oh, Chris and Dave, sorry. I'm so grateful for the effort that they put in. And also, really grateful that my bosses finally caved. They got tired of me asking, tired of me begging, tired of me pestering. After 3 months, I was done working with my pets. Done. No more take your pets to work. Never have that temptation again. You all did get my cat, though, making her national radio debut. People still ask me for Sugar on the radio. It was crazy. It was uncanny. My cat is weird. Well, she's weird. She's high maintenance. She's all of those things. She's an emotional disaster. And she would not leave me alone when I was doing my radio show from home. The other cat would be sleeping. Penny would be snoring. Not Sugar. One night, she got on the arm of my chair that I was sitting in for the show. And I tried to tell her to get down. And she protested by howling. Meow. So we have this thing, this routine that we do. I'm not kidding you. This will go on for 2 minutes sometimes. Sugar. Meow. Sugar. Meow. Sugar. Meow. I'm sure we have it on tape somewhere from 2020. I'm telling you, 30 seconds on the radio because her mouth was right next to the microphone. She was on the arm of my chair. Sugar. Meow. Sugar. Meow. Some of the best radio you've ever heard. My cat needs to express herself. When I go away for, say, a long weekend or even a week, the next 3 days after I'm home, all she does is follow me around the house and register her complaints with those types of howls. So yes, Sugar made her debut on the radio. We found ways to celebrate good news. Remember, we started every show with good news. Full circle, 3 years to the day that March Madness was shut down, we get a new version of the Selection Show and March Madness. And still, I can remember it like it was yesterday. That finality, that shock, but also I'll never take sports for granted or hugs ever again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on what is now a Monday morning. The After Hours Bracket Challenge will be available, locked and loaded, by the end of business today. Producer Jay assures me. You can fill out more than one bracket if you like. I generally wait until the last second. Do as I say, not as I do. Do I sound like your mom? Meow, Sugar. Meow.
I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
The number of Zoom mishaps we had over the course of probably more than a year, right? And how about the fact that the definition of quality just went out the freaking window? What passes for quality audio now and quality video is unbelievable. Zoom calls where the interview is way back here and is talking like this, and you can barely hear it, and it really doesn't matter anyway. Oh, as someone who's a perfectionist and really is meticulous in the way that I screen and edit audio for the show, no, there were times when I would say to, and it wasn't producer Jay, I would say to Dave or Chris, are you kidding me? I'm not using that.
The sound you just had, the audio when you were away from the mic, that was honestly better than some of the audio going around at the time. I remember. Wow.
So In the wake of the selection show, yes, a field of 68, both men's and women's tournament fields being revealed on Sunday. But I'm also just in a place where I'm grateful, and that walk down memory lane, I really spent a lot of time on Sunday remembering where I was and how I felt and what I take away from the last 3 years. So there's a lot that we'll process as we head through toward, well, Dayton first. So the first four is coming up on Tuesday, but then the bulk of the tournament, the first round games, they resume, or they, I should say, they commence on Thursday, Friday. And we have already had two fantastic interviews with players from three seeds. Now, they're both blue bloods, I think you can say. Baylor is turning into that in men's college basketball, whereas the women had been that for years under Kim Mulkey. The star freshman of the Baylor Bears, Keyonte George, coming off an ankle injury, certainly affected the way that they finished up and losing in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. However, they have championship aspirations with Scott Drew. 2 years ago, beat Gonzaga for the championship. And oh, we spoke to Gonzaga. He's a junior. He's a redshirt junior. He's a junior who's played for three different schools. His story is unique. First year with the Bulldogs as their sixth man after last year playing for a Cinderella, which is pretty incredible. We're going to bring that conversation with Malachi Smith back to the show so that you can hear it since we first talked to him in the opening hour. If you missed my conversation with Jerry Palm, great insight on the top seeds, on the Cinderellas who have a real shot at dancing into the second weekend of the tournament. Also, what good metrics can you use when you're filling out your bracket? If you're a nerd like me, I often go to strength of schedule, but maybe there's a different one that you'll want to use. Jerry, he bebops into studio. The poor man, he's been working nonstop for weeks and weeks. He fills out brackets in the wee hours in the morning when our show is on the air. So I know that he was going to be available, and he loves to come by. So we had him in studio in the second hour of the show, which is a lot of fun. He was definitely hyped up on adrenaline. He was carrying another cup of coffee. Well, it was empty by the time he got in here. So if you missed my conversation with Jerry, he's been not only predicting brackets and measuring RPI and the various metrics for 30 years, but he is one of the smartest guys on the CBS Sports staff, and he knows how the machine works behind the scenes. Monday, Tuesday, also the start of legal tampering in the NFL. We've got the latest kind of from Aaron Rodgers himself, as well as Packers president Mark Murphy. Derek Carr was introduced on Saturday, which I thought was weird, but I guess in New Orleans, they don't care. And then in addition, we've got the latest on Odell Beckham Jr. plus Jalen Ramsey on the move. He's going from California back to Florida. Remember when he went from Florida to California? Now it's the other direction. Although probably not a surprise if you know what the Rams are about in 23. Even as Sean McVay confirms that he wants to coach for a very long time, he says, for a lot more years. I guess that could be with the Rams or not.
Run it back!
He's got some major aspirations himself. So we're going to cram a lot into these final few minutes of the show. But good morning to you. Happy Monday. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Zag 78, Don 69, under two to go. And Strother to set the screen this time. Nolan dribbles to his right, turns the corner on Williams, gets into the paint, flips it up and in with the left hand. Hickman blows by the defender and finishes for an 11-point Gonzaga lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom Hudson on Learfield. Gonzaga with another very strong team, though not ranked in the top five because of a couple of stumbles. Ultimately, the Bulldogs win a three seed by capturing another WCC title. And for Mark Few, this is 23 NCAA tournaments in a row. Gonzaga will battle Grand Canyon out of the WAC in the opening round of the tournament. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Gonzaga able to add Malachi Smith this season. His journey is incredibly unique. A year ago, he was the star player in the Southern Conference, on the Chattanooga roster as a true Cinderella, nearly seeing the upset of Illinois. Instead, he leaves there after falling short. He enters the transfer portal and ultimately is on the roster with Gonzaga as the sixth man. So no longer the star, no longer the starter, but brings a ton of experience when he steps on the floor, plus the defense that's so valuable. Had a chance to catch up with him right after the selection show. And while it's not his first NCAA tournament, it is Malachi's first with the Bulldogs, first as a Blue Blood. So I asked him what it was like to be part of that watch party and see the Zags name pop up as a three seed.
It was exciting, you know, all the work we've put in, you know, from the summer and, you know, just throughout the year, all the adversity we've been through. It just kind of felt like a reward kind of for all of the hard work we put in, and we had to earn that three seed. You know, it wasn't given to us. We had to earn it. And, you know, seeing that, we were just super excited.
And in the West region where Kansas is the overall number one seed, I know Gonzaga has a great tradition of basketball, but your first year with Mark Few, 23 consecutive tournaments under him. He's one of the staples in college basketball. What's it been like to learn from him this season?
It's been great. Like, my game has grown so much. He's worked with a lot of players who have been successful, and being able to, you know, be coached hard by him and being able to, you know, grow as a player on and off the court has been really a good thing for my game.
Where would you say is the biggest growth in your game this season with the Zags?
IQ-wise, decision-making, you know, at Chattanooga, I had to make a lot of decisions for the team, and, you know, I'll turn the ball over or I wouldn't make the right reads at times. And, you know, this year my IQ I've learned the game a lot better, you know, seeing the game from a different perspective. And I think it's helped my game a lot.
Sometimes I hear from athletes who change roles like you did, going from being the number one guy, conference player of the year, to being a guy who comes off the bench. And their perspective changes, as you point out, because you watch the game in a different way before you get in there than you did when you're right on the court immediately and you're the number one option. What was it like for you to change roles and to come off the bench in a way that you're expected to provide instant spark and certainly defense right away as soon as you get in the game?
I mean, it just makes you be ready, you know, at the next level. That's how it is at the next level. You know, you have to be ready whenever your number's called. And my role started as someone that came off the bench, you know, so it's something I'm not used to. And at the end of the day, the main goal is to win. And, you know, I feel like with my game, even though I come off the bench, people that know basketball, know how to watch basketball, know what they're seeing, they see the impact I have. You know, numbers don't always have to speak for it, you know, but my game speaks for itself. And anyone that watches Gonzaga knows that when I come off the bench, like, I'm providing something for this team.
One of the things that I think of when I watch you play or when I hear your name and know your role is about the experience that you bring because of the different places you played, the different situations that you've been in. How much does that experience matter when you're talking about a team that really wants to win a championship for the first time in school history?
It helps a lot, you know, being able to have experiences, people having different experiences that could come together. It makes us ready for any moment. Even though I haven't been here, I was in March Madness last year, and being able to get that experience, I was able to see the atmosphere and know what it's like leading up to the game and being an underdog and knowing how these teams play. So going into it, I know not to take a team like Grand Canyon for granted because we was once that team last year. You know, I was in that role, so I know what they're thinking over there. They're like, this is the chance for us to make our mark. So it's not going to be easy, and it's going to prepare us, and we're going to prepare and mentally and physically to go out there and keep this thing going.
That's a great point, Malachi. We're talking to Malachi Smith with Gonzaga, the Bulldogs, the three seed in the West, and will take on Grand Canyon out of the WAC in their first tournament game. As you point out, you were on the other side of this where you were with a Cinderella, and your team nearly upset Illinois last year. It was one of the exciting games of that opening round. So can you share that with your team about being on the other side of that?
Yeah, you know, I've talked about it on numerous occasions already. But these teams come in like they had to earn their way, and this is their Super Bowl. This is the way for them to get known and get their school on the map as well. And so, like, last year when we were coming in playing against Illinois, we didn't care about who they had or how good they were. We just cared about – we said, you know, we got to roll the ball out there and compete, you know. And, you know, that's what this team is going to do. So, you know, we have enough guys that have – that don't take the moment for granted, and we're grateful. But of course, having that experience to able to share that with them, like, that helps put in perspective, like, you know, like, this is a big game, and, you know, we don't want to take it for granted.
What do you remember about the emotions of that day?
Like, leading up to it, it was just crazy. Like, obviously, like, the media coverage was different, and everyone, like, it was a lot of pressure, and, you know, getting tagged and everything, and Malachi is going to lead the team to Sweet 16, and, you know, the player of the year, this, and, you know, just a lot of, like, a lot of talking before the game, and I had to, like, block all that out, and it was a lot, and I had to learn how to block out, you know, all the media and all the expectations, and just go out there and play and try to have fun. And it was a great experience. You know, obviously it didn't end the way we wanted to, but I was able to go through that experience, and believe it or not, the way the game ended, it helped my game grow, because I realized, you know, I'm going to be back in that moment again, you know, not necessarily that shot, but just that game, and I need to prepare myself. And all offseason, that's all I've been working towards, just getting back to this moment.
Great motivation. Malachi Smith with us from Gonzaga here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Do you remember if you were nervous?
Yeah, I was a little nervous, but I'm not nervous because I wasn't prepared. You know, I'm never nervous to go out there and play when I put the work in. Not knowing what to expect. Like, man, are they going to be loud? Is it going to be a close game? Like, you know, they watch film on me. Like, are they going to double team, you know, just not knowing what was going to happen and just watching it on TV my entire life and knowing that, oh, my God, like, I'm a part of this. And, like, I'm the main guy. You know, that was a cool experience.
Awesome. So then you enter the transfer portal. Why Gonzaga, Malachi?
I think today speaks for itself. Just being able to have a chance to play for something big and, you know, obviously get your name out there more and have a platform. Being around a great group of guys and have the chance to play for a national championship.
I remember last year I asked one of your teammates how he would describe Drew Timmy, who, of course, is the headliner, similar to the way that you were at Chattanooga. How would you describe this guy that you've played alongside and with this season?
I call him a character. You know, he's a great teammate, but he can be multiple different people. He can be funny. He can be serious. He can be a jokester. Like, he's everything. You know, he's a great guy.
So as you head into a game against a kind of an unknown opponent, there's a lot of work that will be done. But for success as a team, what's critical for you all to play well in the tournament?
We need to come in with the mentality that we're underdogs. You know, forget what seed we are. Seedings don't matter. At the end of the day, when we play, it's going to be Grand Canyon versus Gonzaga. So, you know, seeding doesn't matter. We need to go out there with a chip on our shoulder. We're the underdog, and we got something to prove, you know, and that's how we're going to go out there and play. Like, with a team that's the underdog.
And again, having been in that position before, you certainly understand it. I've heard stories about the fans that follow your team, about the Gonzaga fans. What's your experience been like with the fan base around Gonzaga?
Oh, it's crazy. Everywhere I go to church, and they're there in church. So, you know, I'm excited that they're going to build a, you know, we're somewhat close where they can come to Denver and come support us. And, you know, my family's going to be able to come. So it's going to be a great time.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad your family's going to be able to be there. It's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Congratulations on making the tournament again in this role where you're a veteran and can really add something different to the preparation. We appreciate it, Malachi. Congratulations
again. Thank you so
much. You're welcome. Thank you. What a story. And before he was at Chattanooga, Malachi was at Wright State. So he transferred before the rules changed and the transfer portal was instituted, meaning he had to sit out a year. He's now a redshirt junior playing for Gonzaga. So talk about climbing the proverbial ladder in college basketball, but not his first rodeo in the NCAA tournament. And I don't know if there's another player in college hoops that has the same perspective as him. A guy who was on Cinderella. He was Cinderella last year, nearly knocking off Illinois. And now he's with Gonzaga. And so he understands why you cannot take a Cinderella lightly or a potential Cinderella lightly. Man, I love that so much. And our thanks to Gonzaga. They give us a player every single year. We're talking 5-6 years in a row now with the exclusion, of course, of 2020. And then Baylor as well. If you missed my conversation with future NBA lottery pick, Keontae George. Great talker, too. Really enjoyed catching up with him. His first taste of March Madness, and likely his last, unless he chooses to stay with the Bears. But he has a very specific reason why he picked Baylor over K Kansas, Texas, Kentucky. He was recruited by all of the top schools, and he wanted to be in Waco. Also, he's not a football fan. From Texas, not a football fan. Pretty crazy. I asked him if he watched Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl in the playoffs, and oh, yeah, I think I read about that. I didn't react. Stay calm. Stay calm, Amy. It's totally fine. Not everyone needs to be NFL obsessed. But can you imagine Patrick Mahomes? I kind of read about that. I mean, I guess. All right. Straight ahead, speaking of the NFL, we're heading into legal tampering. Aaron Rodgers, can you get on with it, please? The Packers are certainly ready to. Plus, we had a trade. Jalen Ramsey going coast to coast again. And Odell Beckham Jr., the Browns courting him?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There's a finality to the decision, and I don't make it lightly. I don't want to drag anybody around. Look, I'm answering questions about it because I get asked about it. I'm talking about it because it's important to me. If you don't like it and you think it's drama, you're going to be in a diva or whatever, then just tune it out.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, he kind of knows that's relatively impossible. So on February 14th, he was on the Pat McAfee show, he being Aaron Rodgers, and said it wouldn't be long until he made his decision. Then he went on his darkness retreat, and it was quiet for a while. It came out and did the Aubrey Marcus podcast, and you hear him there talking about time is of the essence, that I wouldn't imagine it would take a long time. Oh, okay. Well, here we are. We're past Election Sunday. It's March 13th, Monday morning, March 13th, and we are still waiting. So Brandon Marshall takes his crack at getting the news from Aaron Rodgers on the I Am Athlete podcast. He starts out with, you know, a non sequitur of a question. How'd you like that meeting with Jets owner Woody Johnson?
It's always interesting meeting important figures in the sport. Yeah, it's always interesting. That's all I'm giving you.
I'm just there now.
That's all I'm giving you.
Brandon Marshall catches up with Aaron Rodgers at the flag football charity event that they were both attending in California. And I saw the video, heard the rest of it, and what Brandon tried to say then was, hey, don't you want to break the news here? Don't you want to give me a scoop? That did not happen. And so Aaron, very vague and noncommittal about his meeting with Woody Johnson and the Jets contingent, which included, I'm now leaving out syllables. It's been about a 12-hour workday between selection show and our various interviews tonight, and just making sure we're all set. So now I might skip syllables or a word here and there. After Rodgers met with Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh, Nathaniel Hackett, the new OC, I don't know if Zach Wilson made the trip, but various members of the Jets brass and coaching staff to try to sell him on the idea of campaigning or angling for a trade from the Packers to New York. Brandon Marshall continues on the I Am Athlete podcast, just hanging out at this flag football game. What's the timetable? Because, you know, we're still waiting.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned? How long we got to wait?
No, I think it won't be long.
Oh, okay.
There's a time limit for all this.
Yeah, there's a time limit. See, I think it's a little bit like a fish on a hook, and we're being led around by the guy who is holding the fishing pole. I'm using a fishy tail analysis, an analogy, since I went fishing last week in Texas. Yeah, that's how I kind of feel. The fish may think he's free. We, as we're the fish in this scenario, we may think we're free to go where we want and talk about what we want and do what we want and eat what we want. Nah, Aaron Rodgers is jerking us around with his fishing pole, and we've already taken the bait, and now we're stuck. We're stuck with a hook in our mouths. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not a whole lot of information there, only that it won't be long. That's what he said to Brandon Marshall. All right. Mark Murphy, little more open, candid about the situation with Rodgers and why it is that the Packers gave Rodgers permission to meet with the Jets. Certainly sounds like the Packers have already reached their conclusion about how they want this to play out.
I mean, I can't get into all the details, but, you know, it's a situation where I think we wanted to help Aaron achieve what he wanted, as well as the Packers, and hopefully, you know, create a situation where it's kind of a win for both sides.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're on the same side when he says both sides. We want it to be a win-win. We want a situation that works for him and one that works for us, and not the same situation.
I don't think so.
I had people on Facebook even telling me they still believe that Aaron Rodgers is remaining in Green Bay, and I would have thought so before they gave him permission to meet with the Jets. Now, some of the reports out there indicate that what's left is compensation, and I don't mean draft capital or players going the other way, going back to Green Bay. I mean money. Because Aaron Rodgers is due so much money, the Jets have only been able to clear so much under their cap, though they are working on it. Quincy Williams being the latest, the linebacker with whom they have restructured. And so they give him a deal and they make it team friendly. He was a pending free agent, so he was one of their priorities, but they make a deal so that they are able to clear some cap space. They actually have been cutting guys and restructuring guys and trying to move pieces around so that they can fit as much of Aaron Rodgers under the cap as possible. But it's not likely to be all $60 million. So how much are the Packers willing to pay of Rodgers' salary in 2023? Mark Murphy goes on to say that Rodgers will always be a cherished piece of our Green Bay Packers history.
Very few players play for only one team. And, you know, obviously, Brett had a great career. Aaron had a great career here. And
had a great
regardless
career.
Regardless of what happened.
Stop. Can we pick it up there or start over so you can hear that he's using past tense? Aaron had a great career.
Brett had a great career. Aaron had a great career here.
Oh, and, yeah.
Regardless of what happens, you know, Aaron will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He'll be in our Hall of Fame, and we'll bring him back. He'll retire his number.
Like he's dead or like he's already gone. Just, it cracks me up that Mark Murphy could be the answer to a trivia question moving forward, say decades from now. Who was the president, the front office executive who traded away two Hall of Fame quarterbacks to the Jets back to back?
I'm offended.
Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers could both be traded from Green Bay to New York by Mark Murphy. So Murphy was speaking to Green Bay affiliate WBAY, also WIAA. Broadcast, just so you know where the audio is coming from. He made an appearance at the girls high school basketball tournament that is there in Green Bay across from Lambeau Field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I would expect we'd get some type of a definitive, not decision, but a definitive move in the Aaron Rodgers situation. Meanwhile, the Saints already have their man, and Derek Carr, well, he's gushing.
Thank you so much. You know, this really is a dream come true moment for me, and the warmth and the love that I felt, you know, from the city of New Orleans, Mrs. Benson, Mickey, DA, the whole organization, the whole city has been unbelievable.
He was beaming. He said that the way his exit was brought about by the Raiders gave him a new fire to move on. And obviously his connection with Dennis Allen, former coach with the Raiders, made a big deal to him. Also, Drew Brees reached out to him and was a resource for Derek as he was deciding.
I have so much respect for him as a person and as a dad. I've watched him at the Pro Bowl, you know, sitting there with his kids, and the way that his kids admire him and talk about him. And you can tell he's a genuine person. And so a lot of what he had to say was going to carry weight with me. And so I won't get into all the details because, you know, some of that was private to him and to me, but, you know, a lot of what he said is, you know, probably why I'm sitting here today.
Yeah, Derek Carr made a good impression. Dennis Allen was cracking jokes about how he's better, or he's quicker releasing the football than he is making his decision. Peyton Manning also weighed in. He was very complimentary of the Raiders organization and grateful for the decade that he had there, but he's also ready for something new. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I hope that Jalen Ramsey is ready for something new because he went from Jacksonville to the Rams, won a Super Bowl, now heading back to Florida as a member of the Miami Dolphins.
I feel great, man. This is something that I was praying about for a long time. Then David made it happen. I'm excited, man. I'm super excited to be close to the fam.
Shout out to David. New Dolphin, baby.
The fam back in Florida. It's going to be fun.
What are Dolphins fans getting from you?
Man, I'm going to get a leader, one of the biggest competitors ever. I'm going to make my teammates better. All the guys that I got around me, obviously, you know, you got X-Men, you got Fine, and you got the D-line that you know going crazy when Christian holding that down in the offense. You already know what they talking about, Tyreek, Taylor, Tua, man. Come on, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to get to work, though, for sure.
Jalen Ramsey in a one-on-one with presumably his agent on Instagram. Three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler is headed back to Florida, which a lot of pro athletes love to play there because of the fact that there's no income tax. So while we're talking Dolphins, I got to tell you this. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill participated in the USA Track and Field Masters Indoor Championships on Saturday. He won the 60-meter sprint in 6.7 seconds. He blew away the field. I did not get to Odell Beckham Jr., but here's the point. He's worked out for a bunch of teams. He did a workout. Teams that were represented included the Cleveland Browns. We'll wait to see who wins the OBJ sweepstakes. And we'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Boom!